All right, how is everyone today? Hey, Ryan, Laura, good to see you there. Danny and Chase. Thank you all. Everyone is connecting. Laura, good. There you are. All right. So this is our second cohort call. As a reminder, this is, think of our group mastermind, sort of elite cohort. And this is really where we check in, talk about our progress, our pace. That momentum piece that we talk so much about, we surface and process any issues that we're having, right? If you're stuck on something, if you're struggling, if you need support, that's we're all always here. But that is in particular what this call is for. So I'm going to open up our Wowie Dowie PowerPoint show. We do love those around here. Not really. I think they should ban PowerPoint from now until the end of time. Let's do our, can you guys see my screen here? Two, two, two.
Switch this place.
All right. Now, what do you, hold on. Which one am I on now? Stop share. Start share. There we go. All right. You guys see your 30-day spreadsheet up there? All right. Now you see Allison's housekeeping slide. This is where she tells us all the important stuff that's coming up.
Yes. So we have our virtual summit that is coming up on the 11th, as well as our retreat workshops on the 20th and 21st, and your leaders retreat, which is half of the day Thursday on the 21st and all day on the Friday until about 3 p.m. or so.
That way you guys can catch flights home that night if you want.
Yes, if you can catch a flight at 5 or so, feel free to leave then. Or the next day, of course, if that doesn't work out for you. You do need to register for all of these events, so be sure you've done so. The link is in your inbox insights. Even for the virtual summit, please make sure you're registered for that. If you have team members attending virtual summit, they do not need to register. They'll just come on to Tribe, and we have a Tribe space for team members where they will watch those lessons live. We are still moving forward with our breakthrough course. We have, what week is it, Steph? Week four tomorrow?
Five. We kick off on
Right.
Monday.
Okay, so we have 2 more weeks of that. We would love you to join if you are able. And then our next mindset call is on the 18th, which is overcoming overwhelm with Coach Liz and Stephanie. And then we'll be diving into client profitability and some of our tools around profitability on April 1st. So that's what you have to look forward to.
Which will make a lot more sense after the Delivering Value Summit, because we'll be talking about right-sizing client bases and service models, and other scale strategies for packaging and delivering your value. So that's always a really big one. All right, it is that time in the program where we do status and accountability check-in. So just a quick reminder, progress report, last 30 days, right? Think green, yellow, red, on track. Pacing, feeling behind, stuck or stalled on something. Process level one is I'm all good. Two is I have some stuff I'd like to surface with the group as time allows. And three is yes, I do have something that I would like to surface with the group to get support or help processing or solving. Then we'll talk about your priorities for the next 30 days. So I will here in just a second open up your 30-day sheets from last month so that you can give us the progress report, tell us where you are now. And then at the end of the call, as we did last month, we'll go in and update your next best steps for the next 30 days. Sound good? Let's stop sharing. Let me pull up the spreadsheet for you and I will reshare. I am a modern Vanna White. Look at that 21st century skills right there, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's go in order, just because that makes it easy on everyone. Kevin, are you there?
Yeah.
You are, sir.
It doesn't make it easy on me. I have to go first.
You should have chosen a different last name.
Yeah.
That has been your whole life, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. AAA, Kevin AAA in the phone book, right?
Got it. So green, I can't see the third one. Is there three action items or just two?
Oh, hold on. Let me shrink it down for you. There you go.
Yep, there we go. That's what I thought it was. I have that. But yeah, so we're green on those three. We've, I guess the only one that would be a in process or pacing would be that last one of creating and implementing the model week. And I think that's just more of a trying to figure out exactly what that model week is as we do a model week and then realize, okay, that maybe wasn't the model week. Then, you know, starting to fine tune that a little bit.
Well, and that's a really good point, not just for Kevin, but for everyone. If you are the first person to nail time and never have to touch it again, please let me know. I am constantly iterating my calendar. Michael Kitsis, right? He's got a spreadsheet that makes my spreadsheet look calm. Like he tracks every, like we're constantly. The other thing that you'll notice is as your role changes, so too will your model week. It gets like Michael's model used to be a lot of work. Now it's meetings, right? Because now he's directing and advising a lot more than he's sitting down and doing. So one, the most important thing with model schedules, the week is a good example. You'll find less iterations on the year, but you will. Anything that you do here, this is a disclaimer that we should put in big letters, you'll iterate about 17 times in your first year. And I don't mean that in a bad way. You'll do the first draft of your service model and then you'll start using it. And then you'll go, oh, we could, or this would have been better here. And that's the goal. Starting is 70% of the battle. Practice doesn't make perfect. You could practice the same way for 10,000 hours and still not be good at something. Iterating makes perfect because every iteration is a nip and a tuck. To just bring it into alignment. Kevin, as your role changes and grows, you might change your model week or you'll change the kinds of things that goes into growth day or running the shop. So you'll always have those kinds of iterations and you'll learn things. I started with calendar blocking by days. Now, like I can show you my calendar, it's blocked every minute of my day is blocked. Now, you know, in a 25 or 30 hour week, it's important. Like you can't have hours of buffer time. So everything's got to be really clearly spelled out, but that's what lets me know what capacity is. A task list doesn't tell you how long things will take. It just tells you what's waiting for you to spend time on it. That took me a couple of years to get to. If you started there, it would probably overwhelm you. If I had to go back there, it would overwhelm me because I would be like, wow, I have this airtight system and it's gone. And now I have to figure out how to sit in that gap. So step one is imagine you're just laying the tracks. Once you've got them and you use them, yeah, next week you might iterate a little bit. I don't like meetings in the morning. Or actually, I thought all the time you'll do things like, I thought an hour a day would be good. I'd much rather have, you know, 2-3 hour blocks during the week. Because once I get in the zone, it's just I'm turning around and stopping again. So don't worry about iterating. Just make sure you're paying attention with intention to how you're using that schedule. And then it just becomes part of the routine and you'll always be iterating. So I think that's a good point. All right. So you're on track. We'll talk about other priorities at end of call. John on the line. Got a giant my video screen. I don't see John. Chase, I know you're there. All right, they were there. Did we lose Danny and Chase? All right. They're going to come back. All right, who's after that? You guys, Liz will not be on these calls until April because she's got conflicts. There's Danny. Hold on, here they are. We're going to let them come back. Danny and Chase, can you guys hear us? All right, we'll keep going. Chris Hansen will, he has team meetings on this time. Danny's coming. Kevin, Mr. McGarry, do I see Kevin? All right, Kevin is not on today. Leanna, I do see you.
You skipped me, Laura.
Oh, I did, Laura. I'm sorry. Laura, you're next.
Okay. I would say right now I would be a one. Working on my AUM goal, which I think I'm accomplishing pretty good, had a pretty good start with some things that came up. One guy retired and it was a good, or they were already clients, so that was good. And and then the other things that I'm trying to see were, I'd say I finished my one page business plan, and the business, what is that? Success shifter.
Quite a name.
Yes, ma'am. I haven't really had a chance to work on that. My schedule's been a little erratic, and I want to get on that when things get back into normal.
Yep.
And I have my business vision and my model practice completed. So I'm kind of in that spot right now where we're skiing right now, and I wanted to make this call. It's important to me, and so next week gets back into more routine. But then we have an advisor conference that you attended last year, in Naples. That gets me off a bit, and then after Charlotte, on to that. So it's a lot of interruptions along the way. So I'm trying to work through those. If you have any suggestions,
and you just got back from Peru, right? So you're just sort of in that, like, traveling is obviously disruptive. In general, we should schedule less when we travel, or in the periods between. We don't always tend to do that, quite honestly. So we can talk about some of those time strategies, but it sounds like you're pretty on track relative to the fact that you've been out quite a bit. And I know you and Chris are working on the joint version of the vision, which we'll talk a bit about. For any of you, I think Danny and Chase, we talked about this, but for anyone with partners or key stakeholders, one of my favorite exercises around vision is to do them separately and then come together and compare notes. Zero judgment in that process. It's just, hey, here's what my vision is looking like. Here's what yours is. Where do we have alignment? Where are there gaps that we just want to sit down and account for? Again, no judgment, but it lets us know where we need to create alignment in the business so that we can put a process in place to start doing that. So glad to hear that you've got that version done, and we'll get Chris's update in a couple minutes. All right, Danny and Chase, we were coming to you, and then we lost you, and then we got you back. Hi, guys.
Goal number one is to get our camera fixed.
We had to turn it on.
There's a button that says power that we changed our whole conference room. And Chrissy's like, did you turn it on? We're like, yeah, sorry. We're real high level here. How are y'all?
You're good.
So we're going over these notes.
Oh, yeah. Progress report. So here are your items for the last 30 days. So just a quick check in on progress on those items. And if you have any issues to share, solves or support for the group this week.
Yes. So I've got all my stuff done that I said I would do as far as the summit action plan and the business plan and stuff like that. Time blocking has been good. I actually just mentioned to Chase, I'm actually finding myself a little more stressed when I don't check email all weekend. And then I have to like get here Monday. And now I've got 10 people to call when I could have done it Sunday at 2 o'clock, watching the basketball game, just making sure that all my stuff was tidied up. So I'm having a little bit of trouble. I feel more overwhelmed while theoretically like not working as much.
Yeah.
And so I need some help with that personally, and not feeling overwhelmed because I just didn't do it all weekend when I'm used to showing up Monday and having everything already sort of done.
Well, the simple answer to that is put time in your schedule on Monday to check your email. So if we think about checking email twice a day, you know, after Friday, people, right, do still send emails. Things will be in there. You tend to get a lot of emails on Monday mornings because it's junk mail day. So if someone's checking your email, which is my favorite answer, it doesn't matter, because when I showed up this morning and I clicked on my inbox, do you know what was in it? And it's been a little while since it's been like that because as you guys know, I've been looking for a new EA. And so she's been in training for a week or two, and it's been getting better and better. And I showed up this morning and it was empty. And I was like, oh, it's still my beating heart. And then I went into my today folder and there were three things in there. One with little blue eye that let me know. I just info you need to see a little red exclamation point that said, hey, you're going to need to look at this today. And I was like, okay, cool. So if you are checking your own inbox, then Danny's right. You're going to have, like, if you wait, you're going to have more when you check it. The distinction is Danny is servicing, not checking. So checking is what's in my inbox, delete, delegate, right? If it's quick, I do it. If it's, hey, I need to spend 10 or 15 minutes on a few emails, that's going to be 30 or 45 minutes that should be scheduled during my service time. So you're knocking out service time and you're knocking out admin time. You're just knocking it out on a Sunday, which is okay. The ideal is you enjoy your Sunday and you come in on Monday to that empty inbox. So this is a challenge that we have strategies for, but now you've got to engage other people. Is someone on the team? Do you have a centralized inbox? Is someone on the team going to check your email? Then we sit down with that person or persons and say, hey, team, I noticed that I spent an hour and a half on Sunday casually checking email, and I've always done that, and that's pretty cool, except it's an hour and a half of my Sunday. And I realized, right, I should have leverage and not need to do that. So we're working on this time thing. Here's what I want to do. What will it take to put that system in place? Right. So we have to start asking the what will it take question so we can get to the problems. Hey, that works or it doesn't work because. So the issue is you're still checking. Two, we don't have enough time allocated in the calendar if we're going to do it because it's rolling into that Sunday. So in the grand scheme of things, is it going to change your life? No. Not that one thing. The issue is it's not usually that one thing. So when we get stressed, it's a stress response that says this is making you uncomfortable. Fix it. The natural fix is to go back to the old way. It's not that big a deal. The lean in fix, Danny, is what do I need to do to get rid of the discomfort? Is the discomfort that I have to do it? Is the discomfort like that I don't know how to solve it, right? It's the discomfort that I don't have someone to check it for me. And so, like, hey, it's just easier to keep doing it the same way. That's the real question behind the question is what creates the stress and discomfort so that we can solve for that? Because it's all about pulling things off of you and creating leverage, whether it's email, advice work, marketing, or something else.
And sometimes the discomfort is just mindset. You're doing something different, and your brain perceives that that difference may result in something that you don't want. I'm going to drop balls or do X, Y, and Z. And that might not be reality, right? So it's also looking, is this a mindset thing and I'm just adapting, or is it a process issue I need to resolve?
Yep. So you're having, and I'm sure this is not right. And let's all give Danny the whoop whoop that he is not alone on this. We're constantly, right? It's so easy to rationalize. So I can share this with you. Michael has this, he likes to call it helping future me. I've got 30 minutes. If I just go check email right now, then that'll save me having to check it tonight or on the weekend, and that helps future me. Right? That's the rationalization. Michael no longer needs to help, but there's like a habit there where your brain is like, well, why wouldn't I just do it while I watch the game? If I don't, I'm just going to have to do it on Monday. No, that is a very one answer option. It's if I don't, I check it on Monday. Yeah, that doesn't sound very appealing. If I don't is a forcing mechanism for me to get out of doing it this way. That's a really appealing answer. I just have to work through the discomfort of getting to it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So is it a person problem, a process problem, a seat, right? Tiffany does this. What is it? She has these great questions, right? Is it a person, right? Right person, wrong seat, wrong person, wrong process, no process. All breakdowns are typically one of those four things. So do we have wrong person, or in Danny's case, no person? Do we have right person, wrong seat? Do we have bad process or no process?
I mean, not mine. It's not really email. It's just getting calls back. Lady's buying a house, line of credit, a slide deck for an investment. A client wants to know a doctor that I've got to call back from a thing. A thing. You know, it's just like it's client work. It's not just email. It's that, you know, a CPA and a client are meeting and they need something from me or
Yeah,
the
you have stuff
team.
to do.
And
Everyone, does everyone
yeah,
here
yeah.
have stuff to do? I have stuff to do. So the issue is, it sounds like you don't have a container for your stuff. So this is
I
where
mean,
that
just
model
Monday.
calendar. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, just Monday. So just at least for us, it's, 9 o'clock in the office, 10 o'clock team meeting, 11 o'clock marketing meeting, 12 o'clock Chase and I do CEO, 1 o'clock now we're on this call. And then so by the time I get done and I'm not checking emails to go home today, then I've got, and it's not just emails, phone calls and text and, Christy and just everything. So it's just really Mondays. And then tomorrow, strategic planning. Shannon's in all day, so I know I'm not doing anything tomorrow. So now I'm thinking, am I waiting till Wednesday to now get in touch with the CPA? Needs something, or do I, that's a particular when, like I said, opposed to all the stuff that I would have had over the weekend would have been cleaned out, and today I would be down to, the CPA and one or two things. Not good or bad, just kind of what I would look at a year from now and say, how is it possible to show up on Monday? And I know it's going to be different, but we're not quite there yet. And to answer your question, hiring a junior advisor would probably solve 90% of this stuff, and we know that. We just can't quite find them. So somebody that I could just flip this to, they would handle it. But right now, we're just that's really what the answer to your question is, I guess.
Yeah. And the
Anyone
centralized.
have feedback for Danny or Chase on this? Anyone had a similar experience or any shares they want to put out there?
Hey, Danny.
Hey.
Chris, I know you and I talked about like the VIP service, like, idea that you have, which I love for your top clients. And I'm going to steal that, but just actually, we're going to do like a general service inbox for all clients, and I maybe you have, I don't know, maybe you open it up or do something for the rest of the clients besides the VIPs as well to kind of centralize that inbox. Use your own
Yeah.
idea.
Yes. So we've got VIP, which would be for our top two tiers, which is our 20%, top 20, and then we got client at, which will be. We just haven't released that yet because we're waiting on our RingCentral stuff. So that's in the hopper. It's just not out there. And then as far as like my personal email, bunch of it, I don't want to send to the team because then they're bogged down with my personal. So yes, we are working on that. We just don't quite have the texting number and stuff to announce it yet, but
Because
it's there.
I feel what you're feeling too, and I feel like we're just this close to once RingCentral
Yeah.
rolls out, like I feel like that's
Absolutely.
gonna totally alleviate a lot. I'm feeling exactly how you're feeling right now.
Absolutely.
See, you are not alone. Two, we all feel that way a lot. Right now, you guys are in what I'll call the messy middle. You've looked at strategy, you're moving forward on a solution, you're just in the messy middle of implementing. So, sort of like I use the example of remodeling a house. You get all excited, you're halfway through it, you're like, oh my God, what was I thinking? This is horrible. Then you finally get done and you're like, oh, that was so amazing. And you forget all of the messy middle. You feel the messy middle when you're in it. And so what you're talking about is a bridge strategy, which is okay, Danny doesn't have someone to do that service work. We don't yet have that right hand or the inbox being implemented. So yeah, there's just we don't have enough leverage and the work is still there. And so that is a messy middle because it doesn't poof off and go away. So I've been without an EA for a couple months, as you guys know. One, I'm not as quick to respond. Two, right as we go through training, what I always do, and Danny is just doing a version of this a little bit more casually, is I recognize that, hey, my situation changed. I don't have the leverage that I need. How am I going to account for it until I get it? And then if you looked at my calendar, you would see my regular day, and then you would see a bunch of little tasks in the beginning and the end of the day. And if I off-click that calendar, it's the EA calendar, and then my life looks normal again. So I literally, when I don't have my EA, I have to allocate 2 extra hours a day. And it's still not enough to be like super Shazmin at everything like I like to be, to check the email, process the email, give as much as I can to the team, but now I'm still quarterbacking. And so in that sense, I block that time in the morning or I'll watch TV at night. Like, hey, I'm just watching TV and my husband and all. So in that sense, yes, you can do that. If it's a bridge strategy that you're doing intentionally while you implement, right, a solution and you start to iterate and get to the end goal there. If it's a, hey, what's the big deal? That's a different scenario. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I just to close up, we would be, I was proud of myself this morning for my 9 to 10 was spent on 3 very high level revenue producing like prospects. So I did choose this morning to go into what produces revenue instead of just calling what was the simple tax form back or trying to go in order or something like that. So the important stuff got done before the team meetings, and now it's really just the self, you know, I want to get back to them because that's what I've always done. So the decision early was made right. So we're stepping right direction.
Awesome. Good. Well, hopefully that helps a little bit. Kevin, Leanna.
Good afternoon. So I apologize for stepping out. We're in the middle of movers in our space. I've been a little sidetracked past few days, but we are making progress with new space. We're getting ready to sign the contract. I believe Travis is, I think, on here too. We've been dealing with technology, still not final on some things, but some things we are making progress on.
Okay. All right, let's see, what else do we have on here? Email. Okay. Yeah. So you're working on that. Great. I just want to make sure we didn't miss anything. And then I did see Travis, but I don't see him now. Oh, there you are, Travis. Anything you want to add to that?
No, I mean, I think we're making progress on the things that Leanna laid out there. I mean, my big focus for the next 30 days is to finish off our master kind of transition spreadsheets. To kind of tie all that together and then clean it up. But I think as far as it relates to, you know, the setup of the business and the tech questions, it's pretty much all decided. It's more just waiting to sign contracts and stuff like that at appropriate times.
Okay. So you guys are rolling along. Good to see that picking up momentum this year.
Yes.
Ron, I think, or did he send the email saying he couldn't make it? I think he did. He had a situation come up. All right, I will follow up with Ron. Sarah, I did see you there.
Hey, everybody.
Did you provide some outsized value in the last 30 days?
Sure. I've definitely been thinking a lot about the question of value and value for our team. And so I would say that that is still accurate, but it was just really interesting to me that I was looking at this, you know, the other goals here. And so, you know, checking email less, I actually am making some good progress there. And I just came off of a week of some travel, and that of course made it easier. But then my second and third goals last time, I had in there to interview paraplanners and offboard some C&D clients. And I think I've really switched that in, but it's like more aligned with like providing outsized value to clients and my team. Mm-hmm. So now I would say what I'm working on now, the sort of number one is this new fee plan and transition, which is gonna result in my offboarding probably more like a dozen clients instead of 3 to 5.
Right.
Then I don't need another paraplanner. And like raising our minimums, which, you know, might slow down our growth, but might not, and is, you know, probably better for the firm and, you know, enables us to provide, you know, outsized value to the clients and our team, that sort of thing.
Yeah, when you think about outsized value, you're either going to be ridiculously tech focused, right? Because that's where you create a lot of leverage, and or almost always going to be on the premium and or higher margin side of the equation, right? Because that's what creates the funds to create that kind of value. Again, you can leverage tech an awful lot to do that. Sarah brought up a really good point that I'm going to ask you all to really think about over the next couple of months as we talk about client models, right? Clients are the income engine in the car. You can build a great car, but if you don't have good gas, right? Low octane versus high octane, performance is going to really be diluted and affected. And that's what clients are outside of the personal emotional relationship, right? We also want to balance the revenue and the economics of the experience that they have. And we want relationships that create reciprocity, where we're delivering outsized value to them and they in return are delivering fair and meaningful value in exchange for that, right? We call that a profit margin. And oftentimes when we think about growing, we think go do more. And what Sarah really hit on, and we'll talk a lot about this as we do the right sizing the client basis, is very often, more often than not, in fact, that the hurdles to growth are baked into the models that we have, right? We have, to Sarah's point, you could offsize three clients and hire someone, or you could outsource 12 clients and not need to hire someone, right? So you just got a lot more leverage in that model in terms of the relationship between revenue, services, and the capacity and cost of providing them and your profit margin. So oftentimes we'll have people join and go, oh, I want to get to 3 million, or in lifestyle, I want to get to a million. And then along the way, they realize if they rejigger, to use a very fancy word, they rejigger that client base, they don't actually have to do a ton of growing, or not nearly as much as they thought, to Sarah's point. Like, hey, if you doubled the size of your client as an a scenario, right, Monte Carlo it out, yes, in the near term, your growth rate will probably slow, just because anytime you shift or narrow a focus, you're doing some re-education there, but it tends to hockey stick on the other side. So that's the kind of thing that we could just project out in a simple spreadsheet. What's our current rate of growth? If we doubled our fee and we assumed a basic math, right, half as many clients, what would that look like? And you will very often look at that and go, wow, that client base looks a little bit more attractive than the one that I've got. And then we start looking at, right, fee increases or service model changes or potentially transitions or those container strategies we talk about. So a huge part of what we want to do is we wrap up Q1 and we get that vision and that clarity piece clear, is now we can apply it to assessing and analyzing the efficacy of the client base, the income engine that you've got. For those of you with other advisors and teams, eventually you'll extend that to them to make sure each income engine in the business, just like a client segment, is profitable and working in its own right. So each income engine is additive, which is the number one challenge for scaling growth. When we add advisors, it tends to dilute margins while increasing complexity, which is why all the numbers go down as you grow after 1.5 million. It doesn't have to be that way. That's where, welcome to leaders, all the leadership kicks in. Do we have a good strategy that's aligned with our business model? Can we implement discipline and not do things we don't need to do and work with the right, like, that's the next level of growth. So you're not going to have to work three times as hard if we get three times as smart. So it's not a good or a bad, a right or a wrong. It's what's the goal? What kind of car do I want? Do I want a Ferrari or a Mercedes-Benz or a Honda, right? I think different client bases. And then everything, the big mistake we make is we don't align everything like ruthlessly to the business model. But we like that client and we like that team member and we like this thing and we like that thing, right? So that this is where the discipline of what Sarah's going through is a really nice segue into where we're going, Sarah, is to really judiciously look at the client base and write Monte Carlo it the way you would a portfolio. There's a tool, which we'll talk about if anyone wants a head start. I think it's the client revenue and fee analysis, client segmentation and revenue analysis. I was just looking at it the other day. You can basically role play, like, here are our current segments, here are the new segments. What would happen if we made these changes to our fees? So we'll go through the process when we do right sizing, but we're going to really look at the client profitability in that kind of light version of the tool. And then once you get that, you can scenario play out different segmentation and fee models in the deeper tool, and then really start to think, what is the Goldilocks client base? Not too big, not too small, just right. And there's no one business model, one client type, or one set of services that is good or better. They're all awesome if they are really targeted to the client model and the business model. So Sarah, I think that's really good work that you're doing. That's going to set you up really nicely for the work we're doing on the client model next quarter. Awesome. Have you gone through transitions and process and letter, and are you ready to have that conversation with all of them?
I am drafting.
Okay.
I'm still in the drafting process. I have a rough draft, but I have a deadline because I would like to include this in our ADV update.
Great.
So it's good to have a deadline.
Okay, great. And you know there's examples in the library and all that if you need
anything. I used them. Yep.
Perfect. Great. Doesn't that make it easier? Yeah. It's awesome. Wait, somebody might have drafted that already. All right. Well, that's great progress. I love to hear that. It's really just kind of bringing a fresh perspective to the current client base and looking at it without emotional attachment, with a lot of objectivity, and quite honestly, with a lot of radical honesty about the impact that each of those segments is actually having on the business model and performance that you're getting. Cool. All right. Kevin, Mr. Thomas, I saw you there. There you are.
I think Kevin Adelman hit on a lot of what we're doing together, but from a personal standpoint, especially regarding calendar and model week, I just feel so much more organized and cohesive around schedule. And just the last couple of weeks, it felt really good. And then also just setting aside time for me and Kevin to work on the business has been awesome. I feel like we're communicating better, and good. That way it does take time to work on the business. But now I've felt kind of the opposite. I felt super organized, and I like the structure, and kind of reminds me of the first days getting back in starting in the business, you know, power blocking, putting color on the calendar, and then just some of the basic foundational things when I started in the business almost 9 years ago, just kind of redoing that again from a calendar and power blocking standpoint. So it's been good.
Yeah. It's the big brilliant at the basics still works. It's magic.
Yeah. It's been good.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have you heard someone say it works so good, I stopped doing it? I mean, I've said that way more times than I wish I had in my lifetime. Yeah. All right. Well, it's good. Okay. So everything's on track with you guys. No big ads there. Mark, yeah, there is Mark. Hello, Mr. Wade.
Hello. How are you?
I'm happy today. How are you?
Outstanding. Outstanding. Hello, everybody. So we are working. Well, as you know, Stephanie, recently we made some changes. We made some decisions that were, I think, critical decisions, and I think we ended up on the right side of those. So with regard to, the direction we were going to grow, round three of my entrepreneurial career, if I just move the corporate world, don't even think about it. But, you know, round three is going to be really interesting because we have really honed in on who our target clients are going to be. We become more fine-tuned on that every day. I continue to acclimate to the new scheduling, our calendaring. So we continue to acclimate to that, becoming more accustomed to it as we go along. Have finally finished our model practice. And gotten that to the point where it makes sense with who our new client targets are,
right?
Our target clients, and just becoming more comfortable with the systems entirely. Our challenge now, as I see them, is going to be staffing. In the last 3 weeks, I terminated two of my virtual assistants, and which leaves me with one, which leaves me with angst. So if anybody has a good idea or good methodology or suggestions with regard to staffing up on the virtual assistant side, I'd love to hear them.
Anyone got feedback for Mark? Resources? Anyone have a good virtual VA with time on their hands?
Yeah.
Mark, I always tell people to call Athena. Is it Athena Executive, Allison? I can never remember. Athena Assistance, not the one in the Philippines. The one in the US, they're not the least expensive, but man, they just consistently deliver quality people who know what they're doing. They do a good job of training them. I think it's virtual. There's a number of resources on the outsource partners resource list. But I know we often refer people over to Athena and have good luck with them.
Yeah, yeah. Cheapest has never really been good for me.
You know, I look at things and I'm like, I now am at the point in my life where I'll look at the price of something or someone on Upwork and I'll be like, nope, you pay peanuts. You get like, there's no way that should cost me $25 an hour. If you are not at least $50 or $60 an hour, you either aren't good or you don't know that you're good. And neither of those work for me. So like, I don't want to pay two times too much. But I'm way past the point where I'm like, ooh, look, it's on sale when it comes to surfaces for sure.
I don't want the cheapest cardiac surgeon. Don't want that guy.
No.
Yeah. I think in part it depends on the type of virtual assistant that you're looking for. And then, you know, sometimes planning ahead for capacity. So if you're looking at any of the virtual assistant firms that are available that are on the resource list, I recommend planning 3 to 6 months in advance because they all have waiting lists right now. Mark, you're obviously not there, but right, if you think you're going to be there in the future and might want another one, right, connecting with those people, doing the research and making a decision so that you can get into their queue is really, really critical. If you're looking for just an independent contractor, there are, I think, a couple that we might have as a resource, but also I've seen Simply Paraplanner, though they are listed, you know, it sounds like they're a paraplanning firm. I've seen a lot of contract-oriented people go through that site because of the nature of that site is all remote-oriented.
Good. What has the success been finding a virtual executive assistant? A real right-hand person.
Well, I'm working on that as we speak. You can absolutely find people. Services are great. I'm actually looking for someone that will convert to full-time. And so that's just the only reason I'm not doing that. I use Upwork, honestly. And then we, you know, the goal is ultimately, right, to put people through some paces. The nice thing is, I don't like, it's not like, I incrementally train that person, right, to make sure they're good. And then week two, they get more and more. So it's a little bit less deep on the hiring, but right, you're watching a lot more closely in around the first 3 or 4 weeks to make sure, right, you've got the right person.
I also think it's really clarifying the difference between an admin and an executive assistant and the level of person that you need. I think a lot of people hire EAs, but they accidentally hire administrative assistants who can, okay, maybe I can like move email from point A to point B. I can manage your schedule. But outside of that, understanding your life and your priorities and what you have and what you're working on and being able to adjust that and accommodate or take on sort of business operation type work that you would see in an EA before you hire an operations manager. Like, so you have to get really clear on the role and make sure that you're getting that level of person. That's sort of the biggest frustration I've seen in an EA because they're like, I hired what's supposed to be an amazing EA and they kind of are just sort of like an administrative assistant who answers the phones and does scheduling. And those are two very, very different roles.
Yeah, there's a distinct difference.
Correctly.
Yeah, my role is you have to be able to think to be my EA. That is the number one role when I hire people. Your number one job is to think. And so I need that person to exercise independent judgment, to Natalie's point, understand priorities. Again, there's time and training that goes into that. So yeah, happy to help with that if you need any more direction there. But Athena does a really good job, to Natalie's point. You got to really clear about the level of person, right? And the level of judgment and agency. Like someone could, like my EA at this point could say, I thought the best time was 7 a.m. And I'd be like, okay. You know, if it wasn't the best time, we'd have a conversation, right? But it's like, I would be like, hey, if that made sense to you, I will show up and do it. And if training needs to happen, it will happen. But it wouldn't be checking in. It would be like, hey, that person made the decision, right? And so that's the time savings that you're looking for there. And right, I think the theme here for a lot of you is we work on time and vision. You notice there's an intersection there. I like to call it leverage, what you're all looking for in some way, shape, or form, right? Chris and Danny are looking for an advisor. Mark's, right, looking at different businesses, hiring an EA, right? It's about how we leverage people, process, and platform to really focus us on the things that will have the greatest impact for clients and the business. Yeah, so Mark, you've been making some good moves there. So it sounds like you're on track. Chris, you want to give
us your progress? Solid progress.
Good, good. Love it.
Okay. I'm not looking for an advisor yet. I don't want to give Laura a heart attack over there. She's like, wait, Chris is looking for an advisor?
Oh, sorry. No.
it's okay. Chris.
Just wanted to get
Chris and Danny, not Chris and Laura. Yeah.
Okay, so 30 days. I do have my mission, vision, and values written down. Like, I know this seems so basic, but it just took me a bit to really, I don't know, get that, because I know everything goes around that. So I'm super pumped about that. I did also complete the business vision worksheet. And I am almost done with the one-page business plan, which I know was on my list to get to Stephanie by the end of the month, and that will happen. Sadly, Laura and I haven't had a chance to get on the calendar yet to have our, you know, conversation of each of our mission, vision, values. That's scheduled for March 6th, so I won't have that to you by the end of the month, but I think that's going to be an important next step. So I know what the next 30 days, you know, kind of what everything looks like.
Great. Yeah. Sounds good. Anything to process today with the group?
Not anything super high priority. I did have in the email chain, you know, just last time we spoke, I talked about prospecting processes, and I did use the library and reach out via email and have all these prospect meetings scheduled. And I have a handful where it's like, we've met, we did an introductory call, and now they just have to send me the stuff to analyze, you know? And I'm like, okay, does anybody, like, any tips, tricks, like, the ball's in their court. I'm going to have to follow up with everybody. And like phrasing or something that just gets it to like click action, move to action, you know, like that's really where I'm stumped right now.
Any feedback from the group around how you get people to return their intake information? Do you have a super cool form, process, letter? Do you just kick them with your nice boots all the way down the road? What do y'all do? Do you all have this problem?
You know, the only thing I would add is that we usually will tell a prospective client that, listen, we have a little bit of time this week. Right. So we kind of create a little bit of sort of a sense of urgency, if you will. Like, if you would like us to look at it, we do have some time this week and we're happy to do whatever. And then we'll set a time to deliver it to you the following week or something.
Yeah, I have some upcoming travel with spring break and such. So it might be good to kind of use that as creating the sense of urgency.
Yep. Any other thoughts? Anyone solve for this other ways?
I often, when I'm setting the deadlines, do reinforce that sense of urgency that you just mentioned. So, right, in order to make sure that we have adequate time to review your situation and plan for our meeting, we need the materials at least X number of days in advance. If you're not able to do that, please let us know. We'll be happy to reschedule your call.
Yeah. Humans are... everything we ask clients for goes into a very special pile. Does anybody know what that pile is? It's called the I'll get to that later pile. They're like, oh yeah, Chris needs this. Oh, Kevin needs this. Mark needs this in the email. I'll get to that later. Your resistance point here is they have to stop and do, let's be honest, a very boring task. No one goes, ooh, I get to go log into Fidelity and pull down my account value so I can put them in Chris's form. So there's a lot of different strategies we use. One, I'm a huge fan of not asking for more information than you actually need in the beginning. So if we're past that and we're true the, hey, I really truly need this, we will almost always set up a timeline with the clients, and similar to what Robert does, but with their agreement around, hey, when people come to us to do planning, there's usually some sense of importance or urgent, like this is after you're retained or right, we've gotten to the, I need your info. Is this really important? You know, what's your timeline on this? Do you guys, so, cause if you ask them, what's your timeline on this? When would you guys like to have this plan in place so that you have that clarity going forward? They will often not say anytime in the next 6 to 9 months is fine. They will often say, love to have it done this month or this quarter. And then you can adjust and say, great, in order to get the plan done on the timeline that feels really good to you. Let's set up our meetings about 2 weeks apart. We'll just need information 3 to 4 days in advance of each meeting, so our team has time to address it. As Natalie pointed out, if we don't get that in advance, we'll need to reschedule, because we're not trying to set the expectation with new clients that they can just, like, I don't want to be the accountant that's waiting until 11 o'clock the night before. Thank you very much. Right. And by the way, if you call people 3 days in advance, like I used to do, and say, hey, we're really looking forward to this meeting. I noticed we didn't have your information and our team has got some time set aside tomorrow to work on it. Do you think you can get that to me? Or would you like to reschedule? 9 times out of 10, what will people say?
Yeah.
I'll get that to you tonight. Like, we have to create a sense of urgency. Otherwise, no one wants to step over. I'll get to it later. I like to do things in the old days. I think you can still do this, by the way. I would FedEx overnight people packages with a red folder with a nice label on it that said, right, important papers needed, you know, nice little language, a checklist. Here's the information we need. Red folder, and FedEx says what? They've done all the marketing for you. When do you send a FedEx? What's the slogan for FedEx? When it absolutely, positively has to be there overnight, meaning it's important. Open it up. Bright red folder. What does that tell my brain? Oh my God, this is important. Big label, important papers, right? Important letter, right? We need, you know, like, and then you're still probably sometimes doing some nudging. That's where you have a dedicated team member whose job is to lovingly nudge, because then they'll realize, when do you do it? When do I do it? When we have to. You have that rare 10% of your clients that are like, here's everything and an organizer and a spreadsheet. I would give you that. It would be very awesome. But nonetheless, back in the day, it was just, here's a bunch of stuff. We also have designed organizers over the years. I like, very first section is for new people. There's very little in it. It's a lot of goals. And what do you want? What are your problems you want to solve? Next set of information. And then once we're engaged, it's the deeper set. Motivated people who like the engineering types will just fill it out in the beginning, which is great. Everyone else eases in, but they know the goal is to ultimately complete the packet. I also like to tell people when they start, hey, we like to get people through this process in around 30 days. To do that, we typically schedule our meetings about 2 weeks apart, right? And then I walk them through the process. In our first meeting, we will love, adoration, amazingness, right? Help you create a plan. In our second meeting, about a week or two later, blah, blah, blah. At the end of that meeting, we'll have enough information about you to know if we can add real value to your situation now and over time. And quite honestly, you'll have enough information about us to know if you want us to. And at that point, if it makes sense, I say that literally people all the time, you'll know if you like me and want me to do it. Like, am I smart enough? Do you like me? Like, you're just saying that in a really comfortable way. Like, if we can add value and you want us to, we'll move forward. From that point, we like to meet every 2 weeks. To make sure that, right, over the span of 30 to 60 days, we're getting the full plan implemented, at which point we'll sit down with you to talk through the bigger service model and the very disciplined process that we follow to make sure that all the T's and I's are dotted, not just now, but over time, right? Part of our job is to be that trusted advisor that's there every step of the way, blah, blah. Like, I've just told them everything. Now all I'm doing along the way is delivering. Hey, great to see you today. At the end of this meeting, we'll have the information on the plan. You'll have the information you need to make about it, whether you want to move forward, blah, blah, blah. Does that sound like a good agenda for today? Yes. Okay, great. End of the meeting. Hey, like, all I'm doing is seeding and delivering, seeding and delivering. So the seeding, to Robert's point, is either to create influence. Hey, we like to get through this in about 30 days. In order to do that, we'll meet about every 2 weeks. Unless they go, no, their brain goes, okay, that sounds about right. The wealthier people get, the more valuable this becomes. Because wealthy people will put you off 4 months. Oh, when someone has $250 million, they're like, Danny, you can wait. I'll get to that. Waiting for my accountant and my attorney. And the, you know, like, you have to deal with all of that. Right. So we, with really high net worth and ultra high net worth people, we get them, like, they love plans and timelines most of the time. They like succeeding. So we lock them into that agreement. Hey, this is a big complex plan. These things can often take years to implement because we're coordinating with a lot of advisors. You know, we like to follow a process where in 90 days we have a plan, in 6 months it's, you know, how do you want to do this? And people are like, I want that plan. It's not always easy, but you get to go back and say, hey, these are those points where we go from 6 months to 2 years. Would you like us to reach out directly to your estate attorney or your asset protection, you know, whatever it is. So I think we're all always trying to get clients to take action, whether it's get an action item done, return information, seeding, why they care, agreement. Hey, we'd really like to get this application filed so we can make sure this is handled. I know you and Tom are busy. Is this something you think you could get to this week so that I can make sure my assistant is for on this first thing on Monday? Yes, I can. Now I have a commitment. Now I can schedule that commitment. If I don't get it, assistant calls back 3 days later. Hey, Jane, it's Steph. Chris just wanted me to check in. I know this was something you really wanted to get focused on this week. Yeah, I've got time to work on it tomorrow. Do you think you could get me that information? Very quickly, by the way, if you do this, what do your clients learn?
That you're on top of it.
You're on time as promised every time, as we like to call it, and that you do what you say you're going to do, which means what? They're more likely to do what they say they're going to do. So we can get that agreement, we can see why it's important, and then follow up consistently. We're teaching them that proactive, responsible behavior that they're coming to rely on us for.
Love it.
Do you do a getting organized meeting, Chris?
Yeah. So, well, in this particular case, it was a little different than normal because it was just set up like 30-minute introductory calls after an event, like an in-person event.
Yep.
And so it's just something to get them, you know, like scheduled instead of going home and like, oh, call if you want.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So that was great. And then it was like, okay, I used one of the templates to say like, okay, here's what it, you know, these are your priorities. And if you want to add anything to it or you want to change anything, let me know. But in order for me kind of to do my analysis and for our next meeting, I need dot, dot, dot. And it was literally just like the basics. And it was, here's how it, you know, you could email back. You can bring it in person or you could, I offered like, or we can send you a FedEx label, you know? And it's like, do, 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 like just waiting now. And so I'm about to do the follow-ups and I was like, well, before I send out anything or call or whatever I'm doing, like, let me just get some tips and tricks and hear what others do. Yeah.
Do they respond with how they want to send it to you? Because whenever you give people more than one or two options, you actually slow them down.
Well, in our phone call, the idea was they would email it back. Mm-hmm. So the first all but one was a please email back. And then the last one I tried with a, hey, and if email doesn't work for you, you know, let us know. And we could also, you know, send a FedEx or just have you come to our office.
Are these clients or prospective clients?
All prospects.
Okay.
The way we do it, which I think works pretty well, is we do a short intro call where you don't have to prepare anything.
Right.
And then the next one is a consult. And when you schedule the consult, you get an auto email that's like, thanks for scheduling the consult. Here's the link to like upload your documents.
Okay. Oh, that I like that because I have it as like, as soon as you get this, we can schedule our consult.
Yep.
But really, what I should do is I like that idea of have someone reach out like Chris wants to schedule that next meeting with you. She just, you know, please. And then it gives them the deadline of like she'll need this, how you know, a week before
the meeting. Okay. Yeah. And then, and if they don't do it, you know, if they don't upload, then we reschedule the meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like scheduling meetings to drive deadlines for intake of materials, because if you wait until they send you the materials, you'll be waiting forever. You will be waiting forever. Yeah.
Yep.
All
right. I'm going to throw, because I think that's all great feedback from the group. And then I'm going to throw a fun little reflection point challenge for you in here, which is I heard you say that you need time to do the analysis, which means that you're doing work before they're a client. So one, added caveat. So the new ones you added, and I should have asked, Natalie did a great job there of like, what's the context, right? These are people coming from an event. So these are not humans that woke up and said, I need a planner today. They were like, oh, I need information. It's kind of like going to Costco when you're hungry and they're passing out samples. You're like, yeah, sure. That seemed cool. I'll have a call with Chris. What we're trying to surface is, are they in that right, motivated, able to see the value, ready to pay category? And for those in particular, but it will expedite your process a lot, you use the one-page plan. And then that first call in 30 minutes is, hey, right, that is the offer and the deliverable. And you can absolutely in 30 minutes get what you need to say, hey, it looks like life insurance is, you're not going to run the analysis. You're saying, hey, I hear you both saying that your income's gone up considerably and you're nervous if something happens to you, but you've got, you know, your mom's inheritance and you're not sure how to work through that. So we're clearly going to want to look at your insurance and your estate tax situation and your estate plan to make sure, insert all your lovely language here, right? That we're reducing taxes and, you know, leaving a legacy for your church, your children, your charity, you know, all the stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And then you're just identifying what needs to go in the plan.
Right.
Hey,
right.
You've got a concentrated stock position with your company. We're going to want to really look at, right, what does it make sense to do that? What are the tax implications? Blah, blah, blah. You're getting agreement on the problems and zip code solutions. Zip code. Do we need some insurance here? Yes. Hey, we're going to want to look at, and this is where, if you go back and watch this prospect product, this is where seeding is so valuable. You can say, hey, as we look at your plan, I can see a number of places where we're going to be able to find some savings inside your portfolio. I don't see a lot of withdrawal sequencing. I don't see, you know, and they're like, ooh, Chris knows stuff that I don't know. Okay. So there's a problem here and she's painting solutions over there. She's just not giving me specific solutions. You're not running the analysis on the plan, the insurance, or the, you know, right. You're just saying zip code. Right. Would you like to solve for this? Yes. You throw out enough seeding. Right. Hey, we should be looking at, there are two or three common options that we're going to look at here. And in your case, we might want to do a little bit, right? So you're just, I've got the answers, personalize it a little bit, and then it goes on the one page plan. So at the end of that call, you're saying, really glad that you, right, see the value in planning, enjoyed our conversation today. Here are the things that you shared with me you would like to accomplish with financial planning, insert brand message. You and John, right, in their language, you and John want to, you want that, hey, we really want to solve this problem. We want to get clarity around the stock. Yes, okay, great. Next meeting, you're presenting the plan. Hey, we recommend that we look at life insurance that covers your income and, right, you're just making recommendations.
Yeah.
At this point, they should be able to say, well, that sounds great. I'd like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to get the deeper information. Yeah. Now they're motivated, ideally.
Yeah.
So yeah. That can, whether it's a prospect, you know, that's coming off a seminar or a $10 million prospect, it's still the process that we like because it tends to work because you're getting agreement on the problems that people want to solve, which is our friend Carl Richards likes to say so wisely, people don't care about your solutions. They only care about their problem. So we're saying, hey, what's important to you? What do you want to solve for? Here's how I think we can solve it. Do you like me, trust me, and respect me enough to think I'm the one, which is all about your ability to make them feel, I see you, I hear you, and I understand you. So I like what Sarah said, right? Just simplify that process a little bit because all you're trying to do right now is get them to the offer, and the offer is the plan. The offer with the plan is a relationship to implement the plan. And then you don't have to wait for them to get you all that information back. You just get it the first call. To Rob's point, you go through it in the second call and you say, here's the plan. How do you feel about this?
Good stuff. Yeah, thanks, guys.
No worries.
No, you're welcome. And to take it a bit further, so this used to drive my planning analyst crazy, but I think ultimately she sees the benefit. But usually, so most of what we do is really just retirement cash flow analysis. And I know what we need. We need their dates of birth. We need how much money they have in pre-tax, how much they have in after-tax. Do they have a Social Security estimate? And so normally we will just send an email that says, if you can provide the following information, just reply to the email. And we may have questions as we begin the plan, but we'll let you know. And that's easy, right? All they have to do is reply to the email. They know their dates of birth. We don't really need statements on the preliminary analysis anyway. And we get most of what we need. A lot of times we'll have a question. But once we've started the plan and they've at least sort of taken that first tiny step, well, now they're replying, right? Now they're responding because they know we're already doing work for them. And it's really simple. It'll be like a 5-bullet-point email on what we need. And most of the time people will respond to that.
Great. All right. So hopefully that helped out a little good feedback from the group there. You guys have a lot of knowledge and experience to share as well. So we love it when you step in and help the team out. All right. Chase, where'd Chase go? You guys were logging in when we got to Danny on the list, but we didn't get to you, I don't think, Chase. They are deep in conversation. I can't wait to see what we spurred over there. Can you guys hear us?
We got all kind of stuff. Y'all got us brainstorming.
No worries. I was just saying you guys were logging in and out as we were going down the list, and I got Danny, but I didn't get you, Chase. So I just wanted to make sure we checked in with you.
Yeah, I got, I think on that list, it was like my schedule still installing that. I love it on paper, but to like echo what Danny's saying, it's like stuff starts to disrupt it. But then like the workflow is now compiled because like I haven't checked email all day today. I have no idea what's there. I got a ton of work I need to follow up on from like last week, but I'm like forcing myself not to go down that rabbit hole, just try to stay in like CEO mode today. So I'm trying to like work through that. We did do the quarterly business plan. And as I was looking at that, I'm happy about that because we're doing everything on here that I want to do. Your email on the Friday check-in was like something that went good last week. We bought a practice in Fort Worth, so we're logistically going over there, spending time with clients. So I had 2 days over there, met with those clients, like transitional relationships. Covered about $1 million in existing AUM from those three clients.
Great.
Just by spending time, so like that was great. And that's like following through on the plan a year and a half, 2 years ago, that following through with that succession, so that's going well. Everything that we got scheduled on the – oh, now I'm thinking about your Excel sheet. The surges are working well when nothing disrupts me from being able to get into it.
Yep.
But it's just staying in it, and I can get a tremendous amount of done work in those surges. It's just now it's like this week with Shannon coming in tomorrow, it's like I don't have any other clients and other work. It's like there's no time for me to get that other work done. But I am seeing a lot of success with the client surges. And I would say the strategic planning, we're meeting with her tomorrow all day, and that'll be great. We always get a bunch of – it's a good session for the business.
You guys, especially with time, you're all going to find a little bit, particularly the less leveraged you are, what I call the waterbed experience. I don't know, Ryan, if you remember this conversation from last year. My mom had a waterbed when we were growing up. And one day the whole family like plunked down on the waterbed and all these like little leaks started coming out. These tiny little print bricks had been in there all this time, but it's pretty thick membrane, right? It was okay. But when we applied a lot of pressure, right, it pushed down. And then, you know, so you apply, you know, pressure to one leak and then, right, that pushes down. So something pops up over here. It's kind of like that game of whack-a-mole at the pizza parlor. That's what happens with time, because to your point, until you get leverage on email and people processing your work and just putting it on the calendar and saying, show up and do it, that doesn't go away. So when you focus for like on a Monday, it feels like it's building behind you, right? You're trying to save future you. It's the same amount of time. It's just that you're applying focus and it's building up, and the buildup is uncomfortable. But as we talked about at the beginning, that buildup creates the impetus for the, okay, what will it take now to solve the next problem in the waterbed? Okay, right? So I'm focused, and now creating that focus has pushed the problem down the road to the emails are still there. Okay, I got to solve the emails or the advisor hire or the system problem, right? So that's why we keep asking those questions of, we'll solve one problem, which will often for the next couple of months create the next problem and the next problem and the next problem, because it's surfacing the breakdowns in the system. And as we solve for each of those, the bridge gets stronger and tighter, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. So do you as a team have or the group have advice for us on, like, we think we can offload, we think we can create some bandwidth with a junior advisor or a financial advisor associate?
Yep.
We're certainly open into leveraging tech like the centralized inbox and those things. Like, what else? Like, what else do we need to be thinking about that can help? And I want to spend, I speak for me and Danny, that we enjoy spending time on the CEO type stuff. We enjoy spending time with clients on the high level work and the deep work, but we like this work, so I want to spend time on this. Like you said last week, our business is our biggest asset, our biggest client. So I don't want to feel like I'm not able to give what I need at this part of my day because I'm too worried about just regular stuff that's going on.
Yeah. I think for you guys, and this might be true for some others of you, think about that above below the line exercise as phases. But you're probably not going from zero to where Stephanie or Michael are in 90 days, right? But we can go from zero to inbox, right? We can go from zero to centralized. We can go to model schedules. And I think as we talked about, it's those iterations that start to build up. It's what's getting in the way of it working is the questions that everyone should be asking all the time. The strategies work. Now it's how do we surface the problem that it's right dominoing, if you will. And I think for you guys, it's just that staffing leverage. If you don't have a centralized inbox yet, if you don't have someone else checking email, the work is not magically going away. Now what we're trying to do is bucket it so you can be more focused and efficient until you can get to the point where you can delegate it out a bit more. And like I said, I block time in my calendar and I recognize that if I don't have that support, I or the team are going to have to pitch in extra and then we account for it. Hey, I'm going to have to spend an extra hour in the morning and an extra hour in the evening checking email to keep the system on track until my EA, right? And now it's an hour and then eventually it'll be zero, but I plan for that. So in those times, Danny, I work more, but I'm very intentional about why I'm doing it and there's a plan behind it and I know it won't last forever.
I think it's also helpful. What I've noticed with clients and surges is they don't create transition timeframes. They go from surge straight back to a weekly schedule and there's no kind of makeup. And so when you don't have a person to leverage down to, you can't just go straight from surge doing nothing back to your regular schedule because this stuff doesn't fit. So having a couple of days, like catch-up days post-surge around the things that are more business-oriented can be really effective and helpful before you get back into your regular rhythm. And then planning ahead, this is the harder one. I have a client who does marketing. He's like, I'm supposed to be marketing during surge. Like, I can't stop marketing. That's like a consistent everyday kind of social media thing. I'm like, great. So
lock time.
The month prior for surge, you have a surge for marketing where you're creating and developing all of that content in advance so that you're delivering it still while surge, but the work happens in a different container and a different space. So I think you have to look at what's the stuff you normally do during a surge, like what's that work and where can it fit in or where can it be delegated or deferred, right? We all have a tendency to do non-critical work when it doesn't need to be done right away as well.
Yeah, Natalie makes a good point about surges. If you don't have the administrative or the advisor leverage yet and you surge, those other things just get squeezed right up or out, if you will. You might have that time at the back end, as Natalie suggested. If you really are finding that to be an issue, I might schedule like 2 days of surge, 1 day, half day, or 1 day off, 2 days of surge, 1 day, half day, or 1 day off, so that you do have time to address that. Because if you've done 3, 4, 5 meetings in a surge day, your brain is kind of done. You probably don't want to sit down and check email for 2 hours in an ideal world. So I might stretch that surge out a little bit. If you don't have the leverage yet, that work has to go somewhere. I might spread it out a little bit as well. All right, well, we can follow up on that. All right, everybody, next steps here. Let's see. I think, Ryan, I don't think I got you.
Hey. Good, how are you?
Good.
So we hired somebody new not too long ago, so we all sat down as a team and just revisited kind of like the vision, the values, came up with a 10-year plan, more intermediate-term plan, started trying to get into the more, I would say like the shorter term, you know, the 1 year plan and breaking down the action items there. But because we're making a transition going completely independent, we finally made a decision on the vendor that we're going to be using. It's kind of all hands on deck, just getting through that transition. So trying to come up with what we're focusing on the quarter and everybody's plan, it's just too much. So we're working through filling out the forms, building our, plans and right capital, switching from MoneyGuide Pro, so that once Ron has that final conversation with his partner, you know, we'll just basically have that business up and running. So that's what we're all focusing on now. The timeline's a little bit TBD, but yeah.
Okay, so you guys are on track. Anything to process with the group?
No, I really can't think of anything. I don't know if we're on track or not, but we're working through it.
All right, well, keep us posted. You know where to find us.
I will.
All right, Allison's going to drop our 30-day sheet in the chat here. I added a column. Just I know we had asked in the email if everyone's got vision clear so far. At least when I checked in this morning, everyone had. If you don't, we definitely want to know that so I can spend some time with you to make sure that you get it clear. So I'm going to ask you all to drop your top three priorities for the year. Those would be those big objective boxes on your one-page plan. So that we as a group know what matters most to everyone. And then priority action number one, if you have a two and a three, go ahead and share those. But what are you going to be focusing on in the next 30 days related to right moving the business forward and those priorities that's going to help move the needle in ways that you feel good about? I'll give you guys a couple minutes to do that. While you all are doing that, a quick update. March Summit is coming up. When I sent the notes out to our January calls, I think for almost all of you, I suggested attending the right sizing your client base and service model lessons. Surges are in there. So if you're doing those, there's good stuff all in the every lesson except for right sizing your client base is in the library. So if you want to jump ahead or if you want to attend another session live and record it, no big deal. But when we get together in March, we're going to be really grounding into the business model and the five components, right, that we need to scale, which is really kind of your mission for leaders. And then we'll be diving deep into service models and how we scale around those as we hit May, and then looking at growth and teams and building that growth engine towards the back half of the year. As you look at client model changes, very similar to Sarah, you're going to see team model changes start to emerge in those conversations. So if anybody wants to get a head start on that, our focus for this quarter is to clarify that vision so we and our teams know what we're moving towards and why. If you have a vision but you haven't shared it with your team, I would recommend that be your next step. I've got a great lesson on sharing things, strategic planning. If you just want to catch up and chat about how to do that in a way to hit that, I call it the level set meeting, right? Here's where we're going forward. Let us know. Be happy to help with that. Second outcome, building that mindset awareness and positive habits, your success shifter, your daily practice, your email checking, right? The goal there is to optimize you as an income and a joy asset, right? Revenue, and happiness producing asset. You are the biggest one. And then that third outcome is to build personal accountability and practice accountability. How do we make sure we're doing what we need to do that supports the business in a way that's aligned with the goal at a personal level? How do we make sure we do that at a professional level? And then recall using that new KPI worksheet, how do we start to track our current data at a high level so we can see if the decisions that we're making are moving the needle over time? So we do want to focus on that KPI worksheet and personal and practice accountability in March. So as we work on vision and time, just know we'll be spending more time on that with you next month. If you guys have any questions about that in the interim, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. All right, let's see. Does everyone, I see updates happening. Oh, Kevin, I love that. I love the eBuckle services and branding. Great places to start. Junior advisor for Danny and Chase. We know you want to create that leverage, clarification, staffing, and business for Mark. Great. Services, processes, and happy team for Chris. Love that. All of these things are generally always going to be important to you. But as you think about that 3-year vision, it's what are the big gaps that we need to fill? What are the things we need to account for so that we can align our priorities each quarter? So you guys make sure you fill that out today. You get a chance to do the weekly check-in from Friday. That would be fantastic. So we know what you're working on and can encourage and support you. If you guys need anything in the interim, please don't hesitate to reach out on Tribe or the inbox. But you should have your 30-day priorities and make sure that your calendars, particularly those model schedules for those of you that are working through that, have time blocked out to work on those priorities, typically on Mondays, but as you've allocated. So that you're aligning your time, your intention, and your attention with the actions and activities that will move the needle over the next 30 days. All right, you guys, good to see everybody. Make it a great week. Let us know if you need anything. Go forth. Do cool stuff.